I want to invite you to take your Bible and stand. Can we do that? We're not worshiping the Word, but we are worshiping the God of this Word. John chapter 15, Jesus speaking said these words. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen? Billy Graham said the smallest package in the world is a man who's all wrapped up in himself. For without me, ye can do nothing. I want to talk to you about the secret to a fruitful life. The secret to a fruitful life. I am convinced that we're all fruitful in some capacity. And I love this scripture in John 15 and 5 that says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I appreciate fruit bearers. And folks, I want to say with affirmation, what God wants every one of us to be is God wants us to be fruit bearers. Amen? Now, after preaching for 35 years, I've reached this conclusion. There are a lot of people in the church that are not fruit bearers. They're fruit consumers. All they do is come and consume. Their favorite songs, I Shall Not Be Moved. They want to sing Standing on the Promises, but really all they want to do is sit on the premises. Amen? I mean, 50% of people who come to church, folks, never contribute one dime to the church. When it comes to giving, they stop at nothing. They're just fruit consumers. And after pastoring for 35 years, I've learned not only do you have fruit consumers, but folks, after 35 years, you have fruit inspectors. I heard about a family that went to church one Sunday, and after church, they was having lunch, and the father said the message was pitiful, and the mother said the choir was horrible, and the daughter said the special song was terrible. And the little son said, I thought he's a pretty good show for the dollar we gave. I mean, you've just got fruit inspectors. I remember preaching in a service one time. I preached my heart out. I preached like a holy roller at a camp meeting. And after the service was over, there was an English major in the crowd. And she said, Dr. Tate, can I speak with you? I said, yes, you can. She said, I enjoyed your message, but you made 13 grammatical errors. Bless her heart. And I said, sis, you don't understand. I had to give up 50% of my vocabulary when I got saved. Amen? So you got to understand, when you've got fruit consumers, you've got fruit inspectors. Let me tell you, I've been doing it 35 years, folks. You've got fruit flies. Now, you're wondering, what is a fruit fly? A fruit fly always gathers around a stink. And anytime you've got a stink, the fruit flies are gathered around that stink. They're drama mamas that always gather around the stink. You've got them in churches, folks. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. This is me you're looking at. Yeah, you've got fruit bearers, but you've got fruit consumers, fruit inspectors, fruit flies. Listen, After 35 years, you've got Fruit Loops. And after doing it 35 years, they've just about made a fruit cake out of me. But anyway, but here's what I know. God wants us to live a fruitful life. God wants us to live a fruitful life. And this is what God wants in your life. And this is what God wants in my life. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, listen to what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what God wants in my life. That's what God wants in your life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And friend, let me tell you something. If you have those attributes in your life, if you have those attributes in your life and in my life, you'll have positive results. Because if you inject love, joy, and peace, it will change your society. See, if you inject love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, you'll have positive results. It'll change your society. But I'll tell you something else. You'll have positive relationships. You'll have positive relationships. I mean, since it's just us, how many of your marriages could use some love, joy, peace? One man quickly raised his hand. His wife looked at him. Get real, folks. We can get them both up. We could all use some love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance in our relationships. I love what Hudson Taylor said. He said, if your father and mother, your sister and brother, if the very cat and dog in your house are not happier for you being a Christian, it's a question of whether or not you really are. So when you have these attributes in your life, you'll have positive results. You have positive relationships. I'll tell you something else. You'll have positive reactions. You'll have positive reactions. I remember years ago, Savannah Abigail, when she was just in kindergarten, said, Mom, I want to ask you something. She said, sure, Savannah. She said, why do the idiots only come out when Daddy takes me to school? But you know what I know? If you have these fruits in your life, rather than jump into anger, you'll find you're more patient. If you have these attributes in your life, friend, you'll have self-control. And rather than submitting to all those habits and submitting to all those vices and being controlled by those strongholds, you'll find you've got temperance or you've got self-control in your life. Am I just preaching where we live, folks? You have positive results. You have positive relationships. You have positive reactions. You have positive reinforcement. Because what you're giving, you'll be getting back. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll have positive rejoicing. Look what verse 11 says. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Folks, the secret's not to go out seeking joy. The secret's not to go out to seek happiness. The secret is to live a fruitful life, and byproducts of that is joy and happiness. So there's four quick things that I want every one of us to see, because they're practical to every one of us, that if we're going to live a fruitful life, and that's God's plan, folks. God said, I want you to bear fruit, I want you to bear more fruit, and I want you to bear much fruit. And if we're going to do that, there's four things that we've got to look at. First of all, we've got to look at our power source. Now, notice what the scripture says in verse 1. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So we start out and we learn this, folks. We think we're all that in a bag of chips, but reality is Jesus Christ is our power source. He's your power source. He's my power source. That's why the Bible says in Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because he is the vine. But sometimes we're kind of like that little mouse that got on the elephant's back. And they went across this wooden bridge. And the old bridge shook real bad. And they got on the other side. And that little mouse said to the elephant, we really shook that bridge, didn't we? And sometimes, folks, we're like that mouse. And we think it's us. But we got to realize it's Jesus Christ in us. Because 1 John 4 and 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And Zechariah 4 and 6 says, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit. See, folks, our strength, our power source is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the vine. When I was in Israel last time, I went to a place I'd never been before. I went to the Valley of Elah. And I went down there, and I went down to that brook. It's where David defeated Goliath. And I picked up a lot of smooth stones, and I brought them back. And a few months back, I was talking to my brother. He said, Benny, I'm trying to quit smoking. I'm trying to quit. I said, well, I hope you can. I believe you can. And you should quit, because cigarettes are killers that run in packs. And I said, you should quit. And he said, but how can I do it? I said, well, you've asked Christ into your heart. He said, yes. And I gave him one of those stones from the brook. And I said, you remember, the Lord is your strength. The Lord is your strength. When you can't do it on your own, you lean to the Lord. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is our strength. The Lord is how we get through. We got to understand all we are is a bunch of branches, but he is the vine. But you know, as I read that verse 1, it also said, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Or he's the vine dresser. Or my Father is the owner. Now here's what it amounts to. We're just branches, folks. But Jesus is the vine, and God owns the vineyard. Jesus is the vine, and God owns the vineyard. When Barbara and I got married 32 years ago, we had nothing. We had nothing. We literally didn't own one piece of furniture. You said, well, now wait. You had a family, didn't you? Yes. And they said, if you want to get married, it's sink or swim. If you want to get married, get married. But we're not going to do anything to help you. And it was sink or swim on both sides. And we rented a place that was fully furnished. We rented a little trailer. You could drop down your handkerchief and have carpet wall to wall. Literally. And we lived in that trailer. Somebody said, I want to talk to you about being poor. You don't have to talk to me about being poor. I know all about being poor. I mean, I grew up very poor. I grew up so poor, I didn't know what it was like to sleep by myself until I got married. Amen. I know all about being poor. Get real. My wife was raised in a house with a dirt floor. Her mother would sweep the dirt. We know what it's like to be very, very poor. But you know what's amazing? Barbara and I rented and struggled on through. But we've owned one house, and we live in it right now. And you know what's amazing? When we first purchased that house, I started staining the deck. I started taking care of it. Because it's different when you're renting something than when you own it. And folks, God didn't rent you, He owns you. God didn't rent you, He owns you. Oh, it'd be a great day in a lot of people's lives if they could realize that God's not mad at them. He's mad about them. He loves them so much. God's not mad at you. God's mad about you. And I want to report to you with affirmation today. Our power source is the Lord. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? He said, I'm the vine. You're the branch. But you know what God said? Not only our power source, but here's something you may not understand. I grow a garden, but not only do we have to see our power source, but we got to see our purging. Our purging. Look what verse 2 says. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. There's a better translation of that, taketh away. It actually means he lifts up. What that verse is actually talking about, he was referring to grapes. And when grapes fall on the ground, the vine dresser would come. And those grapes would get dusty and they would get dirty. And the vine dresser would come and he would lift those grapes up off the ground. And he would tie them to a pole so they continue to produce. He would actually reposition the grapes. And folks, that's what God does in our lives. Many times we fall down and he lifts us up. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Now, sometimes we don't want to talk about that, folks. But here's what's amazing. When you purge something, that means you cut back the dead wood. I researched this, and where the vine connects to the branches, sometimes sucker shoots will grow. And sucker shoots will sap the strength from the vine that should be going into the branches. And the vine dresser has to cut away those sucker shoots. And folks, that's what God does in our lives. Sometimes God cuts away the sucker Sams. And sometimes God cuts away the sucker Samanthas, amen? And we wonder why those people are not in our lives. And what God's doing is he's cutting. But you know what I know, folks? Sometimes cutting is painful. Sometimes cutting is painful. Sometimes cutting hurts. Sometimes cutting we don't understand. Sometimes cutting don't make sense, but God's purging us so we can be more fruitful. And fruitful represents the character of God. And God's cutting. Sometimes we wonder, why am I not employed here? And why did this situation not work out? And why is this relationship not working out? And why are these friends not in my life anymore? And God's cutting. Sometimes, why didn't I get that promotion? Why didn't I win that race? Why didn't that business go like I wanted it to go? Because God's cutting. And God's too loving to be unkind, and he's too wise to be mistaken. And when we can't trace his hand, we got to trust his heart. And Lord, I don't understand, but God, you're purging. Folks, this happy, clappy, name it, claim it, believe it, receive it. Health and wealth, blab it and grab it. That's just not true. It sounds good, but it's just not true. Our power. our purging. But our promise, notice what it says. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You can ask what you will, and it shall be done. I want you to understand something, folks. These people who say, you just pray, and God answers your prayer. And you just live like you want to live. That's no problem. But God answers your prayer. I've got a Greek word for that. Baloney. No. Young people, listen. Listen. God's not going to answer our prayers when I'm just going to do what I want to do. And I know I can pray and God answer. No. Look what the verse says. If you abide in me, abide means continue. And my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will. And it shall be done. I heard Tony Evans tell a story, the great preacher Tony Evans. And folks, this is what I'm convinced of. This is what I'm convinced of. The devil sees the destiny that people have. And the devil wants to cut them off early. The devil sees the destiny that people have, and the devil wants to cut them off early. In the early days of Rock Springs Church, I wanted to leave. Had it not been for the encouragement of Barbara and the support of Barbara, I would have. See, the devil sees the future in your life, and he wants to cut it off early. I just feel so impressed with what I'm dealing with right now. Tony Evans said he was in Bible college, and he said finances were terrible. And he said his wife said, maybe you just need to quit. Get out of Bible college. Now, what if the great preacher Tony Evans had just quit? And he said to Lois, and see, folks, the devil sees what your marriage can be, and the devil sees what your children can be, and the devil sees what your grandchildren can be, and the devil sees what a church can be, and he wants to cut it off early. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I didn't deal with this in the 8:30 service. God's laid this on my heart for somebody. The devil sees what you can be, and he wants to cut it off now. Not necessarily because of what you're doing right now, but he sees what can happen in the future. See, he sees that if you continue doing what you're doing, that God's going to greatly use you in the future, and he wants to cut it off right now. And Tony Evans said to Lois, What would it take to make you support me? To keep on in Bible college? She said, Tony, I'll tell you what it'd take. It'd take for $500 to come today in the mail. She said, because we poll. She knew what it was to be poor too. And Tony said, I knelt down and I said, God. She said, that's what it's going to take. And Tony said, I went to the mailbox and there was a note from a man named John. And John said, God told me to give this to you. And it was five $100 bills. Our power, our purging, our promise, but lastly, our purpose. What is your purpose? Look at verse 8. I want you to understand something, folks. Hold that, guys. It starts with fruit. You're a fruit bearer. It moves to more fruit. And then it moves to much fruit. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And notice what verse 8 says. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Why does God want us to bear fruit, ladies and gentlemen? What is our? It matters not to me whether you're a plumber or a preacher. Your purpose in life is to glorify God. It matters not to me if you're a street sweeper or a surgeon. Your purpose in life is to glorify God. And the way we glorify God, ladies and gentlemen, is through bearing fruit. Through bearing more fruit and bearing much fruit. And this is what I know. I want to live a fruitful life. Don't you? I want to live a fruitful life. You know, I looked at verses 6, 7, and 10. In verses 6 and 7 and 10, there's a little word there. It's called if. Somebody said if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. I used to have a mug at home. I don't know if I've still got it. But the mug read these words. If it is to be, it's up to me. And friend, you can be as close to God as you want to be. You can be as close to God as you want to be. They asked me a question that I'm going to answer. I think I've got 17 or 18, but one of the questions they asked me Wednesday night, if you could do your 27 years over here at Rock Springs, do you have a lot of regrets? Do you have a lot of regrets? And I do. I do. I'd certainly do some things different. And one of the things that I really regret, folks, if I could do my 27 years over again, I would preach and teach more on the Spirit-filled life. Because let me tell you something, folks. We need the Holy Spirit more than we need anything else. We need the Holy Spirit more than we need. See, let me share with you. 70% of pastors are depressed. 7 out of 10 pastors in America are depressed. The guys that you're listening to, 7 out of 10 are depressed. Let me tell you something. Ministry just becomes mechanical without the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. Your marriage needs the Holy Spirit. Your marriage needs the Holy Spirit. Your marriages in America are in trouble. And friend, you can go through all these courses. You can go through all the courses you want to. But if I'm filled up with God's presence like I should be filled up with God's presence, and Barbara's filled with the Holy Spirit like she should be filled, we'll love each other like we ought to love each other. That's the secret. That's it, folks. You can go through all the courses, but the secret is to get your eyes off what your mate's doing or what your mate's not doing and get filled with the Holy Spirit yourself. That's the secret. And let me tell you something. I'm all for accountability groups, but friend, you can't overcome those vices. You can't overcome those strongholds. You can't overcome those sins in your life, in yourself. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can mortify the deeds of the body. D.L. Moody was the Billy Graham of his day. Now, I'm not trying to make anything mystical, but D.L. Moody was the Billy Graham of his day. And D.L. Moody used to pray on a regular basis, "Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit." And somebody asked D.L. Moody, "Why do you pray that prayer?" He said, "Because I leak. I leak." And friend, with the world, flesh, and the devil, we leak. With the world, flesh, and the devil, we leak. and we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're spending so much time in America trying to work on the outside. We think, oh, if we can just hang something else on the outside. If I can just put something else on the outside. And the secret the whole time is what's on the inside, and it's Him on the inside. It's the Holy Spirit on the inside. And when we have Him, the fruit of that is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. That's the secret. At the end of the day, as our musicians are coming, the only way to get more of God is to give God more of you. The only way to get more of God is to give God more of you and fully surrender and say, God, you can have all of me, but I want the fullness of your Spirit in my life because I want those attributes that the pastor preached about today. Skip, you're very black, and I'm very white, have no rhythm. Sis, you're a beautiful black lady, and I'm very white. But you know what makes us love each other? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You gonna do a class on race relations? Why do a stupid class on race relations? If you don't love somebody on the basis of the color of their skin, you're lost on your way to hell. You're lost, friend. You're lost. Love somebody, but don't love somebody because they're different. Friend, the power, we need the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something today. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to make you mad. America, if you think Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton is the answer, you've missed it. Neither one of those. That's not the answer, folks. The answer's not in Washington. The answer's in heaven. It's from the Lord. We need the Lord, folks. I mean, somebody said we need to get God back in the schools. Get real. We need to get God back in our church. We need to get God back in the churches. We need the Holy Spirit being free to work in our churches. He's not even welcome in most churches in America. You know it. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Got icicles in the pews because they have snowmen in the pulpits. We need the Holy Spirit. I need Him, folks. I need Him. You need Him. Our relationships need Him.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.